some promotions on the Hawkeye football staff and a massive entry into the transfer portal. Welcome to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. You're going to hear us talk about Coach Seth Wallace, Coach LeVar Woods tonight, as well as Caden Proctor, the true freshman from Alabama who is now up for grabs. The Proctor conversation starts about 39 minutes in. Otherwise, sit back, relax, let's have a day, let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons tonight, a full recap of the Iowa caucus by Kevin Ward. Here we are, the biggest political thing that's happened in the last 4 years. It's that time again to choose a president. Kevin, welcome in. Now, we were talking before this. Imagine if you guys came into this podcast, the listeners, you guys at home came in and you guys got 60 minutes of our dumbasses talking about politics.
There'd be some people that would listen.
And what do you think they would think of us?
Less. They would think less of us.
Less of us, yeah. Yes. Grant, are you a big politic guy?
Not really, no. Okay. I have my own opinions. That's about as much as I want to talk.
Huge, about huge Trumper.
I have my own opinions.
You're a MAGA leader.
I don't know.
Everybody shit on Grant.
It's okay.
Well, Kevin admitted last episode that he hates women, so.
When did I say that?
We were talking about the women's game versus the men's game and how many people tune in and stuff like that. And pretty sure you said, quote, women are nothing.
T-shirt.
I might have misheard it. I don't know.
I don't think that was the exact quote.
But, oh, okay. All right. No, I'm kidding for the people out there who are confused on the context. We do welcome you into this episode, this 487th episode, I believe.
Ooh, we are creeping on up there to 500.
Really creeping in, which means I should probably shoot a text, a little reach out to a couple feelers for episode 500. Full transparency, first choice would be Dallas Clark. We have him on camera. You can go check out the video that Grant put together from this summer at Tight End U. He on camera says to me and Drake's face, "I'm in for episode 500."
Did that make the cut?
It made the cut.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
And if it didn't make the cut, then honestly, what we should
I'll be go doing, find the footage. We can, I'll, if it didn't make the cut, I will find the footage.
We should go clip it out because Dallas Clark said he was in. If not Dallas, if we have trouble nailing him down for an episode or recording time, other thoughts are my next thought would be Nate Kading. We haven't had Nate on.
That'd be a sick going.
And after that, there's a whole host of options, but those would be my first two. So how are we doing tonight, boys? How are we feeling?
Good. Tired. Hungry. Tired?
Yeah. You don't eat dinner until after this podcast.
Well, I was going to eat dinner before, and then I just didn't get home in time to cook it up. So, going to have to.
You work long days. You're a hard worker.
Yeah, just trying to provide for my family,
Family of you and Olive, and just trying to provide for Olive.
I eat a lot of food, man, all right? It's not easy to put food on the table.
What's a Kevin Ward diet look like now? Like, you wake up, what's breakfast for Kevin Ward?
So I have like one banana every single day. That's like first thing in the morning before I go to work out.
Yeah. Nice thick banana. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigger, the better. Not even swallow or chew them anymore. Just swallow them whole.
Wow. That's
breakfast is almost always three eggs. I oftentimes have an avocado, some orange juice, some yogurt, some blueberries, and some honey in there.
Is that pre-workout or post-workout?
That's post-workout.
Okay, so you're working out
banana before workout.
Okay, all right.
If I'm feeling I feel like it's going to be a tough one. I'll make a smoothie too.
There you go. Little simple sugars to top off the glycogen.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch is on the move every day, right? Do you prep lunch?
I will sometimes prep lunch. Yeah. I don't know. My days are so fucking different from one another. So sometimes I'm able to stop back home real quick and eat something before going on to the next hospital. Sometimes I just got to eat at the hospital. Sometimes I'm able to plan ahead and bring lunch with me to the hospital. You know,
everything. Snagging some Jell-O's from the hospital kitchen.
Not usually the Jell-O, but you know, something
nice. And then dinner.
You know, a lot of hospitals are stocking the Fairlife now, actually.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of them even got the Core Powers, which is kind of huge.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So there is some decent stuff in those places.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, you know. Some cafeterias are better than others.
Yeah, I imagine so. Dinner's usually a feast for you, right? Pretty big.
I mean, yeah, I eat a lot of calories, so.
Grant, what about you? What's your diet look like these days?
It's not amazing, if I'm being honest. It's like wake up 5 minutes before class, scared, and like panic, run out the door, forget to eat. Eat like a Reese's peanut butter cup or something at one point, and I don't know, like fast food, and I don't know. I got to get it together. I know in my head, I was like, when I get back to school, I'm gonna get it all together. Mm. You know, we're gonna get the diet back in control.
New year, new you.
Like new semester back on a, you know, more of a schedule. Me.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Being at home is nuts. You just eat whatever you want. You don't pay for it.
No, it's a lot more. It turns out when you it's not coming out of your wallet. There's also like more calories coming in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how that works. But no, it's been I'm getting it back together. I've been like fighting snow for the past like 48 hours since I got back. So
where do you grocery shop? Are you a Hy-Vee guy, an Aldi guy, a Walmart guy?
I'm a Costco guy.
Costco.
Costco.
Wow. Bougie.
I go in bulk. Well, you can buy anything there. I get like a pair of sweatpants while I'm in there, a grand piano. Like, I get whatever I want.
Yeah, hot dog for a dollar.
I was there today. You could buy a fireplace. You can buy a nice little entertainment piece fireplace.
Yeah, I actually got my TV at Costco. They actually pretty solid TV.
You got a big old TV selection for sure. Yeah. I bought my laptop at Costco, actually. Yeah, my MacBook Pro.
Costco, sponsor us.
Please. Hey.
That'd be awesome.
That would be sick.
It'd be cool.
I was there today, and I got a tip from the I was going to go anyway, and I would have found it. But I get my protein from Costco. Big, you know, 5-pound bag. Or is it a 10-pound bag? I think it's a 10-pound bag. 80 servings of Optimum Nutrition.
Yeah.
On sale for $48 today.
That's you know, it hurts me to say that that's a really good deal, but that's a really good deal.
Oh, it's a really good deal.
I mean, that was, I feel like, standard 3 years ago.
I know it was that bag used to be like in the $50 for its normal, and now it's like $65. Man, inflation's killing people, dude.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Tough to live.
No, Costco's great.
I was a little worried about this episode a couple days ago, if I'm being honest.
You had 46 or 47 circled on the map. You're like, trouble?
Yeah, at least Monday. I think about episodes about 2 days out, right? So, and we've talked about this before. This is the most nonchalant, just unprepared podcast. Grant, you have access to all of the preparation that goes into this. Like, we have a shared document, you and I. Kevin doesn't even have access to that.
I can't believe that is the
well, you want to know why?
I'm going to start sabotaging us. I'm going to start throwing some random shit in there.
What is there to sabotage, though?
Yeah, well, that's right. He doesn't.
what is there to sabotage?
It's a Word document with like where sometimes I write topics down.
Yeah, it just says like, it's like hyphen Iowa football, hyphen Kirk Ferentz, hyphen Jenny's ice cream. And that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
So Monday, I didn't know what we were going to talk. I know we could talk NFL. Right?
Oh, yeah. A
couple people tune in for the NFL talk. Still football season. A lot of great games this past weekend. Not great in a sense of like they were tight, but it's playoff NFL football. Everybody loves that. And then we get the news, Kev. Yesterday, I'm sitting in a sauna when you send the text to the group chat that GOAT fucking Wallace
has been elevated to assistant head coach.
And, how about that, man?
And Phil Parker salary gets a bump.
It gets a fucking huge bump.
Some would say,
I don't think it's enough. I don't think it is enough.
What was he making the year before? Like he got like an $800,000 to $900,000 bump, didn't he?
I think he made double. Yeah. I think he was at 1.2 and he's now at 1.9. He got
it's a good day.
55% bump, 60% bump.
Nope, it's more than that.
700 grand on 1.2. What is it? 50, it's like 55%. 50-60%.
Yeah. Not a math guy. I don't know. That's why we're doing a podcast, math, not a strong suit.
It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It's like a 60% bump, man.
Yeah, 60%. Grant, not enough?
No, I don't think so. I honestly thought he was. Maybe I don't understand coaching salaries. I thought
he's got to be.
I thought he was making more money, honestly.
You thought he was making more than that?
He's got to be one of the top paid DCs in the country now.
Like, I believe made him the fifth highest paid assistant coach in the country.
He's got to be number one.
Who's making more?
Yeah. We got to make sure he's number one. I'll try and figure it out.
Can you pull that up?
Yeah.
Because I know Brett Venables was making a lot when he was Clemson's DC, but he's obviously with Oklahoma now.
Right.
And who else was out there making a lot of money? I feel like Lane Kiffin made a lot of money as Alabama's OC.
As of November, number one is Garrett Riley, Clemson offensive coordinator, $2 million. Two was Ryan Grubb.
He was vastly overpaid this year.
Two is Ryan Grubb, Washington offensive coordinator, now Alabama offensive coordinator, but his contract with Washington was $2 million. Three is Jim Knowles, Ohio State defensive coordinator, $1.96 million. Four, Glenn Schumann, Georgia defensive coordinator, $1.9 million. And then five is a tie between the LSU defensive coordinator and Jeff Lebby. Oh, and Tommy Rees.
Well, Tommy Rees is bringing in a bag already, huh?
Yeah, actually, no, there's a huge tie at number five. But those are
I feel like I was watching Tommy Rees play football like 5-6 years ago.
I'm gonna be that guy. Who's Tommy Rees?
Alabama OC.
He was Notre Dame's quarterback for. I feel like he played there, started like 3 or 4 years.
Okay,
I feel like he was there for a long time.
Wow.
He was with Notre Dame's coaching staff. He became an OC. I think he was like barely 30 years old there.
Wow.
And then did he stay? He stayed in Notre Dame after Brian Kelly left, but then he went to Alabama. I think this was his first year at Alabama. Correct me if I'm wrong, Grant.
I think so. Because was Bill O'Brien before him?
Yeah,
was there a guy in between?
No,
I can't remember.
O'Brien, I believe, was 21.
I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Well, so, yeah, Sark, Kevin, you're right.
Very recent. Texas job, right?
Yeah, true. This makes me happy because, I mean, all of those coaches' salaries will bump. There's always a natural, like, percentage increase.
Reset the market.
But this puts Phil up there with the Georgia and Ohio State defensive coordinators, and he deserves more than them, but he needs to at least be with them. And
I think part of it is there's a lot of speculation that not only does Phil deserve this, but they want to throw a bag at a new OC, and that person cannot and will not and must not be making more than Phil.
That is the speculation that I saw as well. It makes sense. No OC yet. We talked about that the other day and how that's a little bit odd. KF came out with this information the OC search is ongoing. The word is that Paul Christ was at one point a candidate. He is no longer either interested or I believe it said the source was more on the Paul Christ side of things. He's not interested in going anywhere else.
And he's going to stay at Texas and like he's got like some advisory role or something like that. I don't think he's officially on staff or whatever.
Analyst or whatever he is. And so, yes, Kevin, I think that's straight on, right? Like Iowa, big time job. Probably. I mean, we talked about it at one point. It's arguably a top 20 place to go and coach. Definitely top 30, maybe around top 25. Who knows? We can't be paying people chump change. We also, with the need of our offense and production lately, we we kind of need to
need to hit a home run.
Yeah, we need somebody who's worth it, like someone who's good. And we need money for that. And so if you look at the market, that means we got to pay them 1.3 to 1.5, and they can't make more than Phil. And so Phil gets the bump. Good for Phil, you know?
Fuck yeah, Phil. Get your fucking money, man.
Man, I just imagine.
What's that one, the one like meme? It's like, tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah. That's Phil Parker.
Seth got a nice little bump there, too.
Seth got a bump. What was he at, 7?
I think he's making a milli now.
Up to a milli now.
Woo!
Now, there was, I don't know how much you're on Twitter, Kev, but did you see the dumb, this had to be.
Millions, $83,000 a month.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do with that money, but
I remember. I want it. Yeah, I remember talking to, for context, Kluvdog don't make that much, right? I don't even make $10,000 a month. Okay. So I was talking to Caleb Shudak.
What, you're telling me that we aren't netting $1 million in this this podcast right now?
Yet.
If we were, okay, let's tangent real quick. If this podcast was revenuing a milli a year, we're not even close for the curious ears out there. What would be a fair? What would be fair compensations for us?
More than zero, if we
more. I think we can. We're going to table that one. We'll discuss paying Grant.
Does Grant get a full time job at that point? I guess we probably find.
I mean, minimum wage is what, $7.25 an hour? I guess we can.
We could pay him. Grant, we could probably offer you a package with.
Can we match my rec center former contract?
We will like get you a gym. We'll get you a gym membership.
We'll get you at $9.50 an hour. Yeah, sure. And we'll get you. We'll get you a quarterly coupon at Grace.
Okay. You want to know how we? You want to know how we get to that? By the way,
We just start doing clickbaity stuff and doing episodes every single day.
I was gonna go computer farm. We just have like 80 computers playing the episodes nonstop.
You know how we get there?
OnlyFans.
Shh. Quiet. Everybody quiet. There may be some developments. There might be some merchandise developments. Just we'll leave it at that. It's not going to take us to a million, unfortunately. I know that would be a ton of money to the kids. Grant, we'd find you a job. Kevin, actually, at that point, would probably quit his job. And probably even before that, I would have to imagine, because we don't have a lot of expenses. That's true.
This is a very lean operation here. There's not it's a very high margin business.
Huge margin. I mean, we would have more expenses because at that level, if Kevin was doing this full time, like we would go and travel more places to like do on location, like the stuff we did with Kittle. That's honestly a huge hump for a show like us. Anybody who's in the podcast kind of show industry, when you get to the point where you're making enough where it can fund you to go and go to guests and they don't have to come to you or they don't have to hop on a Zoom, that production quality skyrockets. But yeah, I was talking to Shudak when he was with the Titans, and he was telling me, I was like, I'm curious, right? I'm asking about like his contract, like how's it feel to have that game check hit every week. And he's like, oh, dude, it's like, and he's talking about minimum wage. He's getting the league min, which is like, what, 760, 780 or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And so after taxes, I think every week of the season, he was getting something like a 40K hit every week. Like every week, because they get paid over 18 weeks.
Yeah, they only get paid during the season, which is actually crazy, but.
It is crazy. So I'm like, your shit, like, dude, you literally open your bank account. I know it's this simple, but I just want to hear him say it. He's like, yeah, dude, like you check on Tuesday morning and there's another 38K in your bank account. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh, That's
God bless America.
That's amazing. I remember when I started to like make like a couple thousand over the course of a month. I was like, I'm rich. So to be Phil Parker and to get those deposits has to be nice. And now Seth Wallace too. Let's talk about the Seth thing. Speculation on this is that he's good. He is not the defensive coordinator. Was he co-defensive coordinator, assistant?
He was assistant or co-defensive coordinator before.
So he had the assistant title to fill before this.
Yeah, he had that for a couple years too.
And he's also the linebackers coach. He's in charge of that position group.
Been doing a decent job at that.
He's a relatively young guy for a coach. I'd put him on the I don't think he's over the median age of coaches. Maybe he is. It feels like actually coaching has gotten a little bit younger more recently. To be honest, I don't even know the actual age of.
He's 45.
Yeah. Now, so
what's the median? I'd say he's probably right there. What is the average college football coach age?
Yeah.
I'd say it's right around that.
Yeah, it's close. And so, you know, coaches move on. Coaches step up.
Iowa is an anomaly, and I can't say that
word. Anomaly.
Thank you. Yeah. when it comes to the coaching world, that you can just stay there for a long time if you want to. And I think he GA'd there, and then he came back in 2014. So he's been there 10 years now as an
assistant
staff member. Yeah,
He's
been climbing the ranks the entire time really quickly. So he's recruiting. He was the recruiting coordinator first, right?
Yep, I believe so.
Then he was with the D-line.
Yep, D-line.
He was the he worked with the DBs with us for a year before he got the linebacker's job.
Then he got elevated with the special teams coach title.
No, it was actually before he got the linebacker's job that he started –
He got that.
He got the punt team.
Ah, which isn't like an official thing, but it's like within the organization, it's a step up.
It's more responsibility. And,
right.
It's like he was always looking for more stuff to do. And he was doing a great job at what he was doing. So
right.
Any good organization is like, hey, this guy's a high performer. Let's give him more to do. Mm-hmm. Takes that in stride, does a good job with it. Takes it in stride, does a good job with it. Every task he's been given by the by KF, he's just been crushing it.
Yeah, he knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
And as you guys have heard on this show, you guys know. I mean, we have a freaking shirt with his face on a goat. You guys know, outside of his coaching, which I guess you could call that part of his coaching, like his ability to connect with players, create relationships, and foster that.
Oh, that's definitely a huge skill. Yeah.
But just as a huge, like he's the personality and his – His demeanor off the field, it is unmatched. He is without a doubt. He's my favorite coach that we had. He is number one.
High praise.
And I don't, there's not like there's a ton of competition. It's him and Coach Woods. It's I didn't deal with a lot of coaches, so
LeVar might be a little offended though. That
yeah, exactly. Him. I'll say that openly, and I would say that, I mean, it's not to offend LeVar, that it's very close. It's not like, but I worked with Coach Wallace more because he had that punt unit for so long. And I feel the same way about Coach Woods. It's funny because this whole time, you know, KF's time is ticking. It's going to be up here soon. And everybody's been talking about, well, LeVar's the special teams coordinator. He should be our next head coach. And I never, shame on me. Which I still believe LeVar would be a great head coaching option. We never talked about Seth Wallace as the next potential head coach. Did we?
I don't know if we did or not, but he definitely has the skill set to run a program.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. Extremely organized, detail oriented person that I feel like can definitely shape a program from a high level, which is what your job is as the head coach. And being a position coach and being a head coach are almost as different of jobs as being a player versus being a coach.
Vastly different. It's
completely different skill sets. It's, but I think he would excel at it.
I do too. I mean, if you came to this podcast to listen to us, like maybe question if he's the right guy to have that title, you're not going to find that here because, man, is he a guy who just gets his players to rally around him. I mean, he is, he's just a dude, man. Mm-hmm. Like that's a,
he's extremely fun guy to play for too.
Fun guy. You want to give your all for him. He is incredible at, and most Iowa coaches are because of KF and the top to bottom sort of way that he goes about it. But like at Iowa, the special teams thing, they get you to buy into that. No one buys into something if the importance of that thing is not demonstrated properly. Okay. It's why a bunch of teams across the country have shitty special teams. Because the culture is not there from the top down. They don't have a head coach that values it. In turn, the assistant coaches, even the one who's in charge of the special teams at that point, does not value it, does not put enough time into it, at least relative to what Iowa does. And that trickles down to the players. But the attention to detail.
Do you still have your punt playbook? I was just looking to see if I still had. I have my defensive playbook. I don't have my punt playbook anymore.
I do have it. It's at my parents' house.
So the reason I bring that up is like he takes over the punt unit 2015, right?
Yep.
And the punt playbook before that, there was no playbook. It was pro punt. We punt the ball. We show up for spring ball that year, and I can only imagine how many hours he put in this. The punt playbook is like 50 pages thick. But yeah, he was given that responsibility, took an extreme amount of pride in it, and we had a really good unit the following year. Because 2014, it was not a good unit.
We turned into an elite unit, and that was honestly the genesis of, and I don't know where we stood stats-wise the last couple years, but I know through 2019, maybe 2020, our kickoff unit, our kick return unit, our punt return unit, all four units – were like elite, even statistically across the country. Intangibles, absolutely. Takes a little bit to find and look for those and someone who knows what they're looking for. But you wouldn't even have to go that far to look at how elite our special teams has been. All of you know that. And the genesis of that was McCaffrey making us look like a bunch of assholes.
No, it was 2014. It was fucking... Nebraska.
Yeah. Him making us look like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
And Coach Wallace getting that responsibility and determining that, well, we're not going to look like that ever again. If there's one thing we're going to be good at this year, it's going to be
Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey did that.
And it was tough because we did not have a single rep all year until that game where we really had like a bad punt coverage.
We did get one blocked versus Pitt. It was a mental error, though.
Yeah. And I mean, McCaffrey did his thing. Yeah. But Wallace started all that. And not only the scheme, but the way that he would get young guys to come into the building. A guy comes in. Hey, I'm going to play receiver right away. I'm going to play DB right away. I'm going to start on the D line. I'm going to do this. Well, guess what? A lot of times that doesn't happen. Guys get discouraged. This is part of that culture. This is part of the culture thing. And Coach Woods and Coach Wallace, there can't be any two better people in the country at sitting in a special teams meeting room and getting guys to be alert and bought in and hyped to go out for a 7-minute punt period, dude. Nothing exciting about that. But they somehow found a way to get guys juiced. And there was a steam to being in that front row. There's not a lot of ways to make a long snapper feel important, but when we sat in that meeting room and the starting 11 sat across the front row, you know, in our order, I felt like, damn, like I'm on SEAL team 6 here. Like I'm in the front row. I'm first team punt. Like this is sick. That's honestly how I felt. The fact that I just compared SEAL team 6 to our starting punt unit egregious to those who served, but that's how I felt, man.
Disrespectful, but
yeah, disrespectful in all areas. But that's how I felt when we were on that team, man. It was fun.
I mean, he was getting guys fired up. Like the front of the playbook is just like a bunch of dogs.
We need some fucking dogs. Okay,
we need some fucking dogs. Now you can be a dude.
All right,
you got that, Ragumba. Oh shit,
Hankins. Hankins, open your fucking eyes.
Oh man,
it's fun to think about those meetings.
Yeah, I actually just thinking back about that, I was like, I wouldn't mind sitting through a Seth Wallace punt meeting one more time,
dude. I would sign up for it. I'd pay for it. I'd love to go back and sit in a punt meeting right now. So that to say, on a higher level, across much more meetings, team meetings, where you're not just leading a punt unit, but you're leading an entire squad. He's got the personality, the ability, the you trust him immediately.
Mm.
You feel his authenticity immediately. He's just that kind of guy. And I don't know, Kev. Do you think this sets him up? Well, because the title makes it look like he's the guy in waiting.
I mean, yeah, it does. I don't know. It would definitely depend on how much longer KF plans on coaching, in my opinion, because
you're not going to keep
him around
forever.
Like you said, like Coach Wallace is a valuable asset for the Iowa football team, and I think a lot of other teams and schools around the country know that.
They want that asset.
And would be – I mean, he's definitely ready to run a defense and be a DC somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If not, he could be a head coach if he wanted to.
Absolutely.
But, you know, giving him a nice title bump, giving him a pay bump, okay? We just listed him off. There's not many DCs out there making more than what he'd be making this year coming up.
Yeah.
So yeah. Iowa saw the value in him keeping him and gave him the money and the title to definitely keep him here in town. And he deserves it. I'm glad that we did it because I'm fucking excited to keep Seth Wallace on the team. And
yeah,
who knows, you know, who knows what happens in the next couple of years if KF retires sooner than the contract that he has. If you're looking to hire internally, like someone on the staff right now, him or LeVar for sure.
Him or LeVar, man.
I know people will say, well, what about Phil? Phil, I think
if Phil wanted to be a head coach, he would have left.
Yeah, ago. I think Phil will retire with KF.
And what do you think about that? It's such an interesting thing that you don't see from coaches. Phil was just loyal as a motherfucker. Never left his guy, KF.
Well, I think he just loves coaching the game so much. Like, he just loves.
He doesn't want to deal with the administrative bullshit.
Football, right? And you don't get to do that as a head coach.
Yep.
You don't get one-on-one time with a player and getting to develop him as a raw athlete recruit coming in the door at 18 and shaping him into the most prolific athletic version of himself by the time they're 22. And then you see him off winning Jim Thorpe awards and going off to get drafted. Like, I think he just loves teaching the game of football, and you don't really get to do that as much as a head coach as some people might think.
Yeah. I just find it so unique and admirable and obviously Phil is old school and he's retirement age. How old is Phil? Is he 65 yet?
No, he's not 65. I think he's 60.
Okay. So he's getting there. And in an era, in a modern day where...
60 years old.
60 years old.
Yeah, him and my dad were in the same class. They played each other back in...
That's cool.
Back in the day.
That's cool. People are always looking to take the next step up the ladder. They're always looking for the better chunk of cheese.
Grass ain't always greener, man. Sometimes you got a good situation where you're at.
And Lanning said that actually he was being considered for the work for the Alabama job. And they came out with that video and he's like, the grass ain't always greener. And it's pretty damn green here in Eugene, Oregon. And that's exactly if Phil Parker was a video guy, a hype video guy, like I'm staying in Iowa, that's what his video would look like. It's like the grass is
what I want to leave for.
The grass is damn green here in Iowa City. It's fucking covered up by snow in the winter. All right, but fucking it's green.
Was that a Phil impression? Because that was horrible if it was.
I don't have a Phil impression, so I just went to a rugged voice. That's all okay. I think that, I mean, Phil would be a great head coach, but again, like I said, I don't think that's where his head's at. I think he's fine where he wants to. He is where he wants to be, and it's Phil. It's LeVar or Seth, and those options make me feel so good. Now, obviously, there's more that they're going to look at.
Yeah, I mean, they'll obviously reach out to external candidates. People have some connection. You know, you can't just interview two people for a head coaching job.
Especially just two on the inside and look outside. But man, if either of those guys got the job,
that'd be sick. I know we talked about like when KF hangs it up, we hang up the podcast, but if one of those two might be able to stick around for it.
That's what I almost sent you yesterday when you sent the text, the tweet to our group message. I was like, if Seth is the guy, if Wally Bear gets the head job, my passion for this podcast, this show, is going to be renewed. I'm going to be more excited to do it than I am already right now. And
imagine how many goat wall shirts we'd sell.
Oh my God. And let's just say either of those guys getting the head job, it wouldn't be bad for the show. You know, like we're pretty tight with both of those guys. Access wouldn't be an issue, I don't think. That's all I'm saying.
Could we get some insider access to
you know how McAfee does his Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays, and he had Saban on this year for every Thursday or whatever? Well, guess what? The walk-ons are going to have Wally Bear Wednesdays, and every Wednesday we're going to have head coach Seth Wallace on the show.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you're just taking a Gary Dolphins thing at the View.
Yeah, dude,
you're just taking over that.
Let the new guard and the new young media come in and do our thing. Dolph can go sit on a beach. He's done his part.
He's done his part. That.
Yeah.
If we just send him to the beach,
get him a cocktail, let him rest. He's created and done a job that no one will ever match. Let the walk-ons come in and take over that Carlos O'Kelly Tuesday, man.
That's the View now.
I know. It's way better. No, yeah. It's way more classy.
Carlos O'Kelly's.
I'll never forget KF's commercial, though, with the, it's like, oh, I'm a fan of the salsa. Oh, this fucking salsa. Can I get more fucking chips? Okay. I get a refill on this water. All right.
That's funny.
Very interesting development. So happy for Coach Seth Wallace. My heart was like filled with pride when I saw it, and I hope that we can keep him as long as possible. And I hope that him and LeVar are options one and two when KF does finally hang it up. Coach Wallace, if you're listening, because
if he were to leave for a little bit, you know, go be DC.
Hey, and if he comes, yes. Yeah.
KF retires, bring him back.
I wouldn't doubt it at all if he did end up going somewhere, and then when the job opens up, if he took the interview, I absolutely think he would do it. And because you want to know why I think what Coach Ferentz has built, and obviously Coach Wallace and Coach Woods know this and feel this and are a part of this, is that stability. Like they know how a head coach is going to be taken care of in Iowa, how they're going to, you know, like how important it is to the people of Iowa and to the team and to the university. And It's different than a lot of places, and any head coach would be blessed to have that opportunity. So, Coach Wallace, if you're listening, because I know you do sometimes, you're a fucking goat, and we're happy for you. The other news that came out today-ish, which made this podcast even less of an issue that I was originally thinking on Monday for being strapped for content, is obviously Saban did retire. When that happens nowadays, you get 30 days as a program to open up your portal So the Alabama portal opened and players started to leave. We talked about the one last podcast guy, a starting receiver, I believe, went to Texas already. Grant, is that correct?
Yes.
A couple other guys leaving. Six or seven commits in the class of 24-25 have already decommitted. And the one that's most... They decommitted.
So if you signed, I mean, I guess the coach left, but you were never at that university. You can enter the transfer portal, even though you have nowhere to transfer to because you were never there.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
I guess it makes sense, right? But yeah. The one that's relevant to Iowa is Caden Proctor. And I'm actually confused, and I don't know why we didn't even mention this the other day when we, or two week, last week when we did the episode with Saban retiring, all this stuff. Because I know that he's on the team. I know that he started for them this year, got significant minutes as a true freshman.
Significant minutes. He like started every single game.
Yeah, he was a full-time guy. I went back and actually listened to our podcast from 13 months ago when he flipped on Iowa 2 days before signing day and decided to go with the Crimson Tide. And we know how Iowa could use O-linemen. We're not deep there by any means. And I never even thought about this. Did this ever cross your mind at all, Kev, when the Alabama stuff happened?
Thought about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't think it was that likely, but here we are.
Here we are. Tweets started coming out today. Oh, Proctor's going to maybe be in the portal. Oh, where is he? Like, okay, is that real? Okay, it is real. Proctor's in the portal, and he's crystal balled. You know, all these reporters do their crystal balls. Like they're fucking a genie or something. Like they're a wizard. Oh, yes, I see Caden Proctor in black and gold. And that's where all of them are saying he's going to go. And they don't usually make those crystal ball predictions without some pretty concrete stuff because they like, in their world of recruiting and stuff, they like to keep their percentage rate high on their crystal ball predictions. Like I'm 98% on my crystal ball. And like four different guys for 247 or all the agencies or whatever have him going to Iowa, flipping and coming to Iowa. So
maybe he got homesick.
Definitely a thing. You ever miss Homer Glenn?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
For sure.
I miss Marshalltown occasionally. Not anymore. But I loved going home, seeing mom and dad.
Especially that first year, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, freshman year of college, it's different. It's
stressful.
If you're probably what? That's 14-hour drive home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's an 18-year-old kid. It can be hard.
Yeah, can't imagine he came back very often. And he said some things when he flipped that were a little bit contentious, not malicious by any means, but
I do remember it pissed off some fans, but I also remember that Tyler Barnes was very quick to defend him and say that we wish him the best, because today's day and age with transfer portal,
you never
those guys know that you're recruiting and you miss out on as high school recruits, you might be asking them to join the program in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line.
You never
leave know things on a good foot.
I'm going to play the Tyler Barnes clip here in a second that was pulled from last year when he did flip. What he said last year when he was interviewed by the Alabama media, I believe, was, you know, why'd you flip on Iowa? And his thing was, I didn't want to settle. And I felt like I was settling going to Iowa. I wanted to come to a place, Alabama, that I knew I was going to get hit in the mouth and I was going to be challenged and I wasn't going to be, you know, the only five star. I wanted to be amongst a bunch of other recruits like myself. And I want to, you know, and then on top of that, I want to play for a national championship or be in the contention for one and have a lot of fun.
Check, 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 checked all the boxes.
Checked all the boxes. And even then, and obviously it took a Saban retirement, but even then guys will go and come and go. And a lot of fans didn't like that settling comment. And to be quite honest, it was, and I, you know, you've seen this with multiple things, but there was some disgusting shit said about this kid as an 18-year-old making a decision worth millions of dollars last year. Stuff that if I knew the person behind the Twitter accounts, some of the tweets that I saw, I could mark them off as someone who I would never want to associate with myself with as a person. And even then, and it's good. I had somebody tweet back at me today after I was like, well, Caden would be interesting if he was going to come to Iowa. Great tweet by you, Grant, by the way. New offensive coordinator for Iowa, Caden Proctor.
Why not?
Who says no, right? Who says no?
Why not?
Fortunately, the vocal minority of shit fans on the cesspool that is Twitter, formerly Twitter, now known as X, they don't mean a lot to players. Especially when you're disrespectful and just a bad human. So we still have the chance of getting this guy. And part of that is because of the relationship that Tyler Barnes built and maintained, hopefully, in the send-off that he gave Caden when he flipped. And here is that video right here. Hopefully it plays the...
Yeah, it stinks. But at the end of the day, it's like Coach said, it's, you know, it's got to be his choice and what's best for him and his family. And we wish him well. And I shot Kate and his parents the same text to say, best of luck down there, we got you. I just said, ignore all the noise on social media. Just look at my mentions if you want to laugh at some stuff too, because I get the same thing. But just don't worry about that. You guys got to do what's best for you. And honestly, in this day and age of the transfer portal, who knows what the future holds, you know? So we're wishing well. But again, it's not about the one.
Who knows what the future holds?
A little bit clairvoyant there by our guy Tyler Barnes.
So he put in his own crystal ball back then.
He did. He was maybe he knew something. He was cooking.
Yeah, we got to get him on Flaming Hot Takes.
We need to get him on in general because there's so many fun questions and conversations we could have with that guy.
That's not a great day for the old tweets.
No.
Tough one out there for the old tweets.
Yeah,
don't go look at Caden Proctor's original commitment to Alabama Post.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't look at it.
So, who knows? Maybe we get him. Maybe he's got other plans. Kid's going to get a lot of offers in that portal.
I mean, that's the other thing, right? Is he was a true freshman starter, SEC, Alabama, goes to the playoff.
Played well.
He had the
there's a high value in a young and experienced athletic left tackle that monster. Can command a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Just look at the NFL, what they pay those guys.
And so, you know, he's going to have some suitors. Hopefully the cards fall where they may. I would love to have this kid back and in a Hawkeye uniform.
I hope Brad has the treasury filled.
Yeah.
Did you see how much they raised today?
Alone today, based off the news, I think the count was at 50 grand.
I saw 50. Yeah.
Just a day.
In a day.
Yeah.
Sick.
Add
white bread.
But he, like, it looked like he sent out a message, like, all the members of the swarm. It was like, hey, like, we can do something cool. We just, like, Venmo's right here.
You got a five? You got a five? You got a 10, maybe a 20? Pitch it our way, you know? As much as it would hurt a lot of those people who tweeted at Caden last year, how he wasn't good enough anyway, and how we don't want a kid like him.
yeah, we do.
You're wrong. You're wrong, though, right? Because you're wrong. Because he's 6'8", 350.
Do you know how big 6'8 is?
Like, that's... You know how big 350 is?
I do know how big that is, because we had a couple guys. I felt like I was a mid. Do you call them midgets? A small person. I felt like I was a hobbit sometimes in that Iowa locker room. 6'8", 350 is massive. It's bigger than anybody we have on our line right now. And talent-wise, he's also better than anybody we have on our line right now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident in saying that.
He had the highest like pass protection grade of all of championship weekend.
There you go.
Championship weekend.
So would he help us?
Against a pretty good Michigan D-line.
He would step right in and help us. Not only that, but you get a guy like that. That's another card that falls. Now there's this massive kid. I don't know if he's worth a shit out of Cedar Rapids Kennedy. That's like 6'10", 370 or something like that. This kid is a monster. He's a giant. So we get him.
10.
I think he's a 4-star recruit. I think his name is Nick Brooks.
Does he want to talk to Fran as well at 6:10.
We don't want to play in both ways. We don't want two sport athletes there. Who knows?
Two sport athletes. Ben Keeter.
Ben
got his first dub.
Debut on the mat. Yeah. Said he wrestled like shit. Won the match though.
Just gotta get your hand raised at the end of the match.
Kid is built like a assault rifle.
I gotta learn wrestling.
I want to be Ben Keeter when I grow up. I think I'm gonna be Ben Keeter for Halloween this year. I think
starting your wrestling career now.
I have always claimed that I think I could get up out of a Spencer Lee thing. I don't think
Ben Keeter.
I don't think I'd even have the balls to step on the mat with Keeter.
I mean, if there's any consolation, it'd probably be over very, very quickly.
It's nice and painless.
I would say you'd get over under time limit.
5 seconds?
Ooh.
I think you could last longer than 5 seconds.
Yeah, like run around in a circle for 5 seconds.
This is assuming that you – well, that'd be stalling.
Where are we starting? Are we on our feet?
You always start on your feet.
Okay.
So I'm saying like first period, start in neutral.
Can't wait for all the wrestling fans
to if you do not take any stalling calls, I'm saying that you'd get pinned. Ooh.
15 seconds is a long time.
I think it's under 15.
Well, he's got a ton of weight on you too.
And he's got weight wrestling. And he's got all the reach. He has so much reach on me.
Reach too. I'll give you
11 seconds.
You're actively trying not to get pinned, but still not stalling. I'll give you 18 seconds.
Wow, that's a lot. And I would do my best to make you proud there, Kev.
I feel like it's a little generous. 18?
I'd love to do it.
It's forever.
I'd love to do it.
The thing is, he is like Spencer Lee. Obviously, you are bigger. You have longer arms, but he is a lot bigger than you, a lot longer arms than you, and a lot better than wrestling. He's got all of the, like, you've got nothing on him.
Way better looking.
Is it
brighter future?
Is Kluver able to like lather himself in butter to make it more difficult? Yeah, then maybe over 18.
Can I jump in a pit of olive oil before we get on the mat?
Your best option might just be playing possum.
Play
just
dead.
Trying to like turtle yourself, like yeah. belly on the mat, and just try to stay off your back.
It's play dead. That's not Kluver. That's that guy's dead.
I mean, I'm not. He would toss me around, but if I'm down on the mat, I'm a solid 200. I got a lot of muscle on me.
The thing is, you can get called for stalling even if you're down on your stomach.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, he got the win. It'll be exciting for him to continue his career, elevate that. It really is interesting. We have the two linebackers coming back. So his career on the field, although I'm sure he's got plenty of room to go find time in special teams, hopefully without injury, we can avoid him being our linebacker for another year. Does that elevate his wrestling career? Who knows? I still think it's absolutely absurd, insane that he's going to try and be elite at both. I think there should be a documentary crew following him for the next 4 years, 5 years. But yeah, pretty cool to see him in a Hawkeye singlet and kick off his career there.
I got to learn the rules more to wrestling, by the way.
I think they changed
the scoring system this year.
Takedown three now?
Takedown is three now, which doesn't have the same ring as two.
I think it could develop into it, though. Three. It's just got to take time.
They were just trying to reward more offense more.
So. I like that. I like that. As a person who knows nothing and never wrestled, I think I like that. I always thought it was weird that you take a guy down. It's so hard to take a guy down. And then for him just to get out of your takedown is half of the points you just got. It's like, eh.
Yeah. No, not the case anymore. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Any other thoughts on Wally Bear, Coach Wallace, or Caden Proctor? Any of that news?
You know, I think Epstein didn't kill himself, but that's pretty much it.
That is it. Washed Up Walk-Ons, episode 487. That's all we got. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.